So thanks, and I'm not drinking anymore. Well, thanks for listening to this.
There's the snippet for the beginning.
It's the snippet, isn't it?
Welcome to the Brand Engine Podcast, where we use proven strategies, real-life case studies, and actionable tips to help you, the small business owner, take control of your website and build your brand online.
Well, hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 8 of the Brand Engine Podcast. My name's Gerald Porschman, and once again with me is my co-host, Mr. Barry Moore. Hey, Barry.
G'day, everybody. Gerald, how you doing?
Mate, all good. Hey, look, before we start, I remember in our last episode, you received a letter from a bogey company trying to sell you a domain.
I did, yeah.
Which was going to cost you something like $200. How did that end up?
Well, I just threw it in the trash, but I just want to make sure nobody else falls for it. So don't be surprised if you get a letter in the mail from bogus companies trying to sell you domain names that look like a renewal notice, but you don't actually own them. They're just trying to scam you. So you're probably not going to get any snail mail, any postal mail from domain registrars, especially the one you registered from. You're probably just going to get an email. So look closely before you think you have to renew for a domain name that you don't own.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people, even like myself, you know, I get so much mail that comes through on snail mail, and you just think it's all legit, and it comes on a great letterhead, and it looks good. And if you've got some staff members that are doing it for you, I mean, they might just simply think it's something that's got to be paid for, and they'll just pay it. So, yep, I think key message there is, yep, don't sign anything. Read it first.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, you can go back to look at the Brand Engine /episode 6. And there's a scan of the scam copy that someone tried to trick me with.
Yeah. Hey, I got this note from a guy called Peter who was asking about one of our episodes, and he asked about the hosting provider and the domain name itself. So when he registered his domain name, I think with, say, for example, Crazy Domains, he was also thinking, is it a good idea to have the hosting provider who offers a free domain name, should he be going with the same organization, or is it okay, like I've done, I get my, you know, I got my domain name from one organization and then I just moved all of my content over to a provider. What's the best option here? What do I do?
First of all, it's great to get some listener questions. If you have any, by all means, shoot them through to podcast@thebrandengine.com and we'll be happy to answer them for you on future podcasts. But to answer his question, I think what he's asking there is it good? A lot of hosting providers will, in order to get you to host with them, they'll offer you a bit of a bonus about, you know, we'll give you a free domain name if you host with us. And that's good. But what you have to make sure of is that they don't register the domain name. The domain name's actually registered in your name. Mm. Some of the hosting providers will register the domain name in the name of the hosting provider and then allow you to use it, which is bad because that means that you're building your business on this domain name and then all of a sudden 2 years down the track, you don't like your hosting provider, you want to move it somewhere else, and then you find out, hey, I don't actually own this domain name, and now you're kind of screwed. So if you are going to get a free domain name from a hosting provider, that's not bad, but just make sure that you're the one that owns the domain name. It's your name that's associated with that domain
name. But how do you find that out?
Well, you just ask the hosting provider. Just tell them to make sure it's registered in your name. And if they don't want to do that, well, then obviously they're not being forthright in what's going on.
Mm. All right. So it's not a bad idea then to, you know, to just do a bit of research there. It takes a couple of minutes to do that. Make sure that you own the domain name and then you should be right to go.
Yeah. It should be registered in your name as the owner of the domain name. So if you do a search on domain names, you'll come up with a number of contact details there. There'll be the contact details for the person who owns it, and there'll also be another set of contact details for the technical contact. And the technical contact is typically the hosting company or your webmaster or whoever's looking after the website. So just make sure you're there as the owner. It's all right to have them there as the technical contact, but you should be the administrative contact or the owner of that domain.
Great question, Pete. We've also got one from Simone. Now, Simone had asked, she downloaded your ebook, had a quick pre-read of the ebook, saw that it was quite easy to follow. Her question is, hey, guys, love the podcast. wanting to know how long it would actually take to get a site up and running where I can start selling some of my project, products. And I have not got a domain name. I have got nothing. I'm sitting in front of my computer. How long would it take?
Yeah, I get that question a lot, but that's kind of like saying, how long does it take to build a house? Kind of depends on the house you're building. Mm. But the ebook that we're talking about, you can find that at thebrandengine.com over on the sidebar there. You can download a free ebook. And basically, I get that question a lot. Mm. So what I did is I set up this ebook, and I actually went through and mapped it out as I went through how much time does step one take, how much time does step two take, how much time does step three take. Mm. So actually, the sub-name of the book, I think, is How to Get a Website Up and Running in One Weekend for $184, because I cataloged how much time it took and how much money it took to go from zero to hero and have a website up. So if you're talking about a simple website that might have five or six pages to it, maybe one product you want to sell, you can absolutely get that done in a weekend. If you set aside a weekend, sit down, follow through the book. I think it actually takes about 14 hours or 16 hours to go from the preface of the book all the way through to having a website live. So it is absolutely doable in a weekend if you set the time aside. And
what do you say about, you know, how do you answer the question when people say to you, even that, Barry, you know, 6 hours, 7 hours, I just don't have the time to do that.
Well, then don't. I mean, if you don't have time, think of your website as your business, because that's what it is. It's your business. It's like opening a retail store. Mm. The work involved with running a business online isn't getting a website up, just like the work involved in running a retail store isn't building the store. Once opening day comes and you unlock the door, that's when the work starts. That's when your business starts. So if you don't have time to invest in your business, I would ask the question, what are you investing in? And if you don't have time to invest in a business and get it up and running, you probably don't have time to run it once it's up and running. So, either you're committing time to it or you're not. So pick one.
Yeah, I think that's a difficulty with some people is that they expect that they click their fingers and all of a sudden a website's been put up and they're selling product. But, time invested in your business is great business sense. I think what I'd like to talk about today is that this whole area around now getting our website up. And, look, I've done a bit of research myself and, you know, I don't know about you, but I love browsing the internet and you see so many different designs. You see so many, I think they call them themes. And I want you to talk to me about that, what the word themes mean. But I see it as the word a design. So I get, you know, I get the header up the top, I get the footer down the bottom, I've got sidebars, I've got content in the middle. But there are so many different themes. And I want you to talk me through maybe what a theme is and also how do I get hold of these themes.
All right, but maybe first let's catch up with the listener with the case study. So if you're just joining us on episode 8 of The Brand Engine, what we're trying to do is we're using Gerald as an example on how to build and set up a web-based business. So if you go back to episode 4 of The Brand Engine, we talk about the case study. So we're setting Gerald up with a site from scratch, basically. From no idea to let's get this thing up and running. And in each podcast, we talk about a different thing, and you can follow along and look over our shoulder. And that all starts in episode 4. Well, actually, it actually starts in episode 2 where we start talking about branding. Yeah. Nikki talks about how to brand yourself and come up with your brand message, which is also part of this whole thing as well. So have a listen to episode 2 and then go back and have a listen to episode 4 where we talk about the case study. So where we are up to the case study is Gerald sat down with Nikki and we've gone through a couple of branding sessions and we have a clear brand message for his new business called The Presentation Coach. And you can listen to episode 2 and episode 7 for those kind of branding sessions. Episode 4, we talk about the case study for Gerald's website. So now that we have a brand to go forward with, how do we get that up on the internet? How do we get a business going? So what we've done so far is we've come up with this brand message. We've registered a domain name, thepresentationcoach.com.au. We found ourselves a hosting account. We've decided to run with WordPress as our content management system, and we've installed WordPress on our hosting account, which is where we're kind of up to. So the next thing, when Gerald's talking about themes, what we're talking about is how does that site look? You know, there's an infinite number of options you can go with on how your site looks. And people tend to get wrapped around the axle with the design elements for the site, and waste too much time and too much money, in my opinion, on that particular part of getting a website up and going.
So how do you mean wasting too much time?
Well, unless you're like an artistic business, like an artist or a photographer or a designer, and your design is your calling card for your business, you don't need some design that's never been seen before, that's new and cutting edge. You just need a design for your site that makes it look nice. It's pretty. It's pleasing. It follows standard conventions that internet browsers are used to, and that people can find the information easily that they're after, and it matches your brand message. Do you need to design that from scratch? Probably not. There are these things called themes, which you mentioned before, and the theme is just basically a web designer's gone out and said, created a theme or a look and feel for a website and say, hey, you can buy this pre-done theme off of me for, you know, anywhere from free to a couple $100s, and all the design work's already done for you. The colors, the fonts, the layout of the site, where the navigation bars go, where the menus are, all that's been done. All you have to do is buy it or download it and install it, and you have a pleasing functional design for your site in a matter of minutes. So you don't need to design it from scratch. You certainly can, but that's going to probably you have to go to a web designer. They'll charge you, you know, $1,000, a couple $1,000 for a design, or you can just go buy one that looks nice and fits your brand for $50.
So I've just gone to the to my Google browser, and I've just typed in the word themes, and what's come up is a whole lot of results looking at themes. And the second one on the list there is called Woo Themes. But I also noticed what some people might do, even including myself. I see the third one on the list says download free themes, you know, for your mobile phone. But I'm guessing, you know, I can probably just go into the download free themes. How do I pick where I get it from? Where do I find the best themes?
There are some theme marketplaces out there and some relatively popular ones. And I would say stay to the well-traveled path of the popular theme marketplaces for a couple of reasons. One, because that's where designers put their best themes. They want to get them in front of as many people as they can, so they put them in the popular marketplaces. Number two, it is possible that someone could write a theme with some malicious code in it that gives them a backdoor into your website, offer that for free, and the unsuspecting person would come along and go, oh, wow, free theme, yeah, I'll grab that and install it. They install that, and all of a sudden they've opened a backdoor to their website.
Right.
So most of the more popular and well-known theme marketplaces are legit and they're above board, and they check the themes before they offer them to their customers, so that you can be relatively safe in knowing that that theme's already been checked for that sort of thing. There are plugins you can get that will go through your theme to make sure it's all legit as well, and I'll put those in the show notes. But I'd say stick to the popular theme marketplaces. Woo Themes is a good one.
Which is what we've gone with.
Yep, yeah. So that's what we've gone with for the presentation, Coach. Woo Themes, W-O-O. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Theme Forest is also one that has lots of really nice-looking themes and is a popular marketplace. StudioPress.com has a number of themes. That's the theme we use on the Brand Engine. I'll put up some links in the show notes to more popular theme marketplaces, and you can go have a look and find one that you like.
So, okay, then I have a look, and I see that there's an endless list of themes here, you know, for WordPress, anything from, you know, $50 to $150, you know, Australian dollars. So now I pick one and I can go through the whole collection. I like one that's got a good layout for me. I love the colors. I love the style. I love where the banners are. How do I install it?
Before we get to that, actually, maybe a good point to make is this isn't a life or death decision, picking a theme. You're not writing in wet concrete. And what I mean by that is a theme can be changed relatively easily. The whole concept behind a theme is that it abstracts or separates your content, so the text on your pages and the pictures you use throughout your website and the contact details you might put on your website, you know, your About Us page or your products page. That content that you put in, your product descriptions, your address, your location, that's known as content. How it looks, what color you use, what fonts you use, how it's laid out on the page, that's formatting. So what a theme does is it separates the formatting from the content, meaning that if I decide to go with a new theme in the future, I can just change my theme, but none of the content actually changes. It might just get rearranged and use a different font and different colors. Just the formatting changes, right? So if you install a theme and you decide you don't like it, it's easy enough to change. It really is just a click of a button to change to a different theme. So don't get too wrapped around the axle of spending hours and days and weeks agonizing over which is the theme. Pick one you like, install it. You can always change it later with minimal consequences.
I have had a person recently just ask me, you know, what would happen if I grab some of my text from just Word, Microsoft Word, I'd take a copy of that, I go to my theme and I just hit the paste in there, will it automatically format it to the theme of the of the page that I've chosen, or will it just format it as, you know, the Arial 12 point font?
So there can be some issues there. And one of the issues is that Word behind the scenes will sometimes put formatting instructions into the text. This is supposed to be bold. This is supposed to be a 12 point font. This is supposed to be a 10 point font. And sometimes when you copy and paste, it carries those style instructions along with it, which you may inadvertently put into your website without meaning to. So if you're going to do that and copy and paste, and everybody does it, probably the best way to do it is to copy and paste it from Word into something like Notepad or Text Editor that doesn't have any formatting, that doesn't allow any formatting, that only allows plain text. So if you copy and paste it into Text Editor, strips out all the formatting, then copy again from the text editor with zero formatting, drop it into your, paste it into your website with no formatting, and it will automatically pick up the formatting from the theme. So if the theme says that body text is supposed to be Helvetica 12 point, it will become Helvetica 12 point. Then later, if you change your theme and your theme says Times New Roman 10 point, everything will automatically change to Times New Roman 10
point. That's a really good point.
That's what a theme does. But you have to make sure you don't paste in any garbage style instructions inadvertently when you're copying and pasting.
Because it looks horrible on the site when you bring it up.
Yeah, then it looks terrible. You've got conflicting style information about what stuff should look like, and it just ends up looking like a dog's breakfast.
Hence why it's called probably a theme, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I want to install it. How quickly, how easy is it? So I've got it, I've grabbed it, I've paid my money, I'm thinking about, I go back to my WordPress site, I go into my cPanel. I don't know if we've discussed about cPanel, but we'll talk about that in a moment. But I go into my major framework, and how do I whack it into my
What'll happen when you find a theme you like, which may be free or maybe paid for, what you do is you buy, let's say you're buying one for, say, $50 or something. So you'll buy it. You'll add it to your shopping cart on WooThemes, for example. You press checkout. The transaction will be conducted, and then WooThemes will give you a link to download a zip file. Right, so it'll be your theme name .zip. Just copy that to your local machine, your laptop or your desktop, and you have that zip file there. The key here is don't unzip it. You need the .zip file. A lot of the time, sometimes when you download a file, especially on a Mac, sometimes it'll just automatically unzip the file. You don't want that. So if you double click on the file, it will unzip and there'll be some folders there. You want to leave it in the original zip file format. Then you log into your admin interface on WordPress. So I think we talked about that in a previous episode. So when you install WordPress, you'll get a public facing link, which is on the presentationcoach.com.au. But there'll also be a back-end admin interface where you log in to make any changes to your site. You log into the admin interface. On the left-hand side, on the nav menu, you'll find Appearance. Under Appearance is Themes. Click on Themes. You'll see all the installed themes that are currently installed on your website. And up the top, there'll be a big button that says Add New. You click on that, and then it'll take you to a screen that says Install Themes. There's just a button there that says Upload. You click on Upload, find your zip file, choose your zip file, press Upload, and hey presto, it installs, uploads the file and installs it to your website. Now, that doesn't mean your theme's automatically going to change. You need to go back to that theme screen again. So under appearance, where it says appearance themes, you click on that. That shows you all the themes that are currently installed on your website. And you could have maybe 10 themes sitting there, depending on what the default install looks like. You need to activate the theme that you want. So if you've just installed the new theme, it won't be the active theme. The active theme will be whatever was there before. You just click on the button that says activate, and that becomes the new theme. And if you go back to your public-facing site, you'll see the entire look and feel of your site has changed to reflect that new theme.
Is it a good idea to have, I was just thinking while you were saying you might have a dozen different themes up there, is it a really good idea to have maybe the different seasons having a different theme, so spring, summer, you know, winter?
You can do. I think the hazard there would be that, you know, over the course of 3 or 4 months, if you have frequent visitors, you've trained them to find information in a certain place, right? All my product descriptions are here. All our about us, our contact information is here. And if you all of a sudden change that kind of every 3 months, now they're kind of getting disoriented and they don't know where that information is. But if that information stays in the same location, you just change the colors and the fonts to represent autumn or spring or whatever. Yeah, you could do that. Absolutely. But just remember, the World Wide Web is a global thing. So what might be summer in Australia is not necessarily summer in the United States.
Well, that's true. So strange that, isn't it?
Global
problem.
World Wide Web.
So what happens now? I've got my theme. I've uploaded it. I've zipped the whole thing into and installed it. It looks great. So I'm sitting with my theme. Can I change or can I customize the way that the theme looks?
Yeah, that comes down to most themes will have a settings menu associated with them. So there may be, what typically happens in a lot of themes, as it installs another item on your main left-hand navigation menu. So if you look down your left-hand navigation menu now, you might see another menu item there named after the theme you just installed.
So we installed Simplicity. So right above, I can see right above the appearance menu, on the left-hand side, just above that, is the theme called Simplicity.
Exactly right. Yeah. So we installed the theme called Simplicity. Now there's a new menu item that says Simplicity. Mm-hmm. That has all your theme options on it now. So if you go to that menu item and you click on Theme Options, what you can see there is that there's the opportunity to change colors, change fonts, upload logos, custom logos, change the title of your site if you want to. And a lot of those are self-explanatory. You can just go through them. Some will also have an option to upload a custom favicon.
Yeah, I love those little things.
And if you don't know what a custom favicon is, it's the little thing in the menu bar of the browser that might be your logo or a little custom design. So when a user bookmarks it and they go back to their bookmark menu, it has your logo there. So if you go to the Brand Engine, you bookmark the Brand Engine, you'll see there's our little rocket ship logo is on your menu item now. So it's just a branding thing more than anything. There may be some places to put in tracking codes for Google Analytics, which we'll talk about in a later episode, upload custom logos, change colors, change fonts. So most of the themes will have some sort of menu where you can go in and adapt it and tweak it a little bit to your particular brand.
But earlier on you said, I don't want to spend too much time trying to design the whole thing. How much time should I spend on this? Because now I'm looking at, there are a lot of options here. The layout, the slider, the home page, I could spend hours on this.
What I suggest you do is, if you like the theme in the first place, there's probably not too much you need to change about it. Right? So, and maybe just upload your custom logo, change the title, and then just leave it. You can play with those options later, but don't get sidetracked on stuff that isn't going to, you know, 2 or 3x your business, stuff that's not going to dramatically impact your business or your sales or your inquiries. If you're curious and you're like me and you just like to click on stuff and see what it does, by all means, go through those, but, you know, don't waste. It can be a bit of a time suck. You can waste a lot of time playing around and stuff that doesn't really need to be changed.
What should I look out for? What should I be careful of? Now I've got this up. Should I delete anything, take any changes out? Should I, you know, there are some obvious default settings in there. Should I just leave it, or what am I?
Yeah, I would say leave the default settings till you're comfortable with it. There's really not too much danger you can do other than changing something to a hideous color or making all the font like 27-point giant font. But you can't. A lot of themes will also come with a button that says reset theme options. So if you have screwed something up and you don't know what you did or you don't know how to undo it, there is that panic button that says reset all theme options and it all goes back to what the original install was.
Right.
So if you have made a, it's a way to backtrack to the beginning if you get through and you don't like what you've done. Also, I would say, we talked about it kind of a little bit a minute ago, is sometimes when you install WordPress, it might install with 5 or 10 default themes, depending on how the install script is set up. I always think it's better for your website to run lean. So if there's themes there that you don't want or you know you're not going to use, just go in and delete them. You just go to that themes page and say delete theme, and it gets rid of them. It's just less code and less storage. It's all gunking up your website. So the leaner it's running, the faster it's going to load. So get rid of stuff you don't need.
So Barry, thanks very much for all that information. Just give us a quick review of what we just had for our listeners.
All right, so what we wanted, what were the goal we were after, is having a nice looking design for our site. So all we did is we went to a couple of the reputable theme marketplaces like WooTheme, StudioPress, ThemeForce, browsed around for a little while, found a theme we like, buy it, download the zip file, take that zip file, we go back into our WordPress admin site, go to appearance, themes, upload. We've uploaded the zip file. Activate our new theme, maybe tweak a couple of the settings, upload a new logo, and hey presto, within literally a matter of 10-15 minutes, we've installed a new professionally done, nice-looking design into our website. And if you go to the show notes, I'll make a little screen capture walkthrough that shows you the exact process from start to finish and of uploading a new theme. So if you go to thebrandengine.com/episodes8, there'll be a little screen capture video you can follow along the whole process. So it literally only takes as little as 10 minutes to have a professionally designed theme, professionally designed look and feel to your website.
So we really want everyone just to download a theme, look for it, and make it theirs for now. Well, thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Brand Engine Podcast. As always, we would love to hear your feedback. So jump onto the website at thebrandengine.com/episode8. And as usual, leave us some of your comments below the show notes. And if you like, as usual, use the SpeakerPipe widget to leave us a voicemail.
And if you we'd love to hear your feedback. If you can jump onto iTunes and leave us a review, we'd really appreciate that as well. So we'll see you next week and get out there and start building your brand online.
Thanks, Barry.
Thanks, Gerald.
Thanks for listening to the Brand Engine Podcast. You can find all the show notes, news, and upcoming events over at thebrandengine.com.
What we've... me. So thanks, Barry. Thanks, Barry. That until the next time we see each other, talk to each other. But ideally, that. 9, we're heading back to the case study. That was tough.
That was hard for me.